This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, is this stupid? When Carberry was talking about how he likes to position his lefties on the left-hand side,
yeah.
I kind of was fist-bumping internally because on my soccer team, 7 and 8-year-old girls, I have 3 left-footed kids, which is surprising. Out of 11 kids,
that's
a lot of lefties.
Yeah.
And I do play them all on the left.
Well, it makes sense.
Which I feel a little bit bad at times that I'm pigeonholing them to the left side, but I felt like carbs in a different sport was
agreeing with you. Yeah,
I think it's
good coaching move.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of standard, but you can think outside the box.
But actually, when I played, like EB and I played on a soccer team for 20 years and I played high school soccer, I actually preferred playing on the left as a righty because I would cut back that way. But anyway, stupid. But when Carberry was saying that, I was thinking about my 7 and 8-year-old team.
Sure.
Got playoffs coming up, Cakes.
Very good.
Big.
Yep,
it's been looming.
By the way,
a lot of strategic changes that I'm making.
He is so nice,
Lovely.
And I know we always said that we were going to go to Beer Can Alley with the last guy,
Peter Laviolette.
I actually do want to have a beer with Carbs somewhere.
Carbs is my guy.
I've said that about every Caps coach.
I said it about Reardon.
He was a great guy.
Yep.
They just happen to all be good guys. They happen to all be good guys.
Yeah,
they really are. But I mean, Carbs is extraordinarily friendly.
Yeah, he really is.
We may do this every time, but Carberry's the one seed. And Laviolette was the one seed.
Great. Yeah. I really liked him.
And yeah, they've all been good.
And Reardon was just super nice.
Couldn't have been nicer.
Is Reardon still an assistant with...
Last I checked, he was assistant with the Pens, but those guys move around a lot, so I'd have to double check.
Listen, we've done dinners with people and stuff before. Let's do a dinner or something with Carbs.
I'd be down.
We should. What do you think, Drabby?
This would have been great about 30 days ago. He's a little busy right
now. Yeah, it's true. In season's tough.
It'll have to be in the off season, but okay. We can do it.
And I recommend a pasta place.
Pasta?
Yeah, for carbs.
Oh, nice. I like it. Well done, always stick with Valdez. Well done. That's perfect. Perfectly placed.
All right. I know Valdez worked hard to get this audio. I want to hear it, too. It is Coach Quinn at his presser. The guy's got to sit there and talk to the media every day. He's asked a few questions, and obviously the big question he's asked about is John Allen and replacing him.
When you lose a guy like that, you drafted Johnny Newton, you have Gary, how do you replace him? What's the plan there?
Yeah, for sure. It'll be a multitude of people and roles and how we can feature guys to do that because John's rare and he's got unique skills and talent. So it's not just plug and play. And the good news, we got big, deep crew. And we'll feature all of them a little bit differently in finding the ways that we can do that. But, we'll certainly miss John and the strength and the attitude that he brings inside.
Here's how I described it. I did that hit yesterday with our guy Derek Forrest. Is it still the CW?
DC Live.
DC Live. Okay. Yeah.
I think it's DC Live.
Yeah. And I told him, listen, he asked me about replacing John Allen, and listen, John has been a stalwart here. You're going to miss his leadership. He had a couple sacks. He's starting to come on. I do think they have some guys. It's not going to get any better. That I could tell you, right? I'm not sure that it'll be a precipitous drop-off because I do think that, you know, they drafted Newton for a reason.
Yeah.
Mathis will have an opportunity to shine. And these guys are just eating double teams.
Mm-hmm.
And the other guy's got to make the plays,
mm-hmm.
you know? So I think they'll be able to survive. It's not going to get better.
You're going to see a steady dose of Chuba Hubbard this upcoming weekend. Because, look, the Panthers, they don't want Andy Dalton throwing the ball 35, 40 times. They want to try to keep it on the ground and try to churn clock. Mm-hmm. Now, especially with John Allen gone, I would expect Chuba Hubbard to have a boatload of carries in this game.
Well, and for people that don't know, because if you're not a fantasy geek, you have no idea who Chuba Hubbard is. He's third in the NFL, 485 yards rushing. He's averaging 5.6 yards per carry, which is fourth in the NFL.
He's had a great year so far. Mm-hmm.
For rushing yards before contact. I'm stealing this from Commander's Wire.
And he was kind of an afterthought because a lot of people thought that as soon as Jonathan Brooks, the guy they picked in the second round out of Texas, was ready to come off the injury list, they'd get him up and going. But Hubbard's been so good. Like, there's been no rush. Why would you rush him along in a lost season? Which, you know, there are going to be a lot of lost seasons for the Carolina Panthers, it looks like.
Yeah.
Hubbard's been, you know, taking on that full workload and succeeding.
They throw to him, too.
Right.
Yeah, listen, I'm telling you, they're the Panthers, so I do disrespect them.
Right.
But I do believe this is going to be a challenging game. And it's not as easy as it looked a few weeks ago.
It's not, but the Commanders' offense, the floor for them should be 28 to 30 points because that's what the Panthers give up.
I hope so.
They just give it up to everybody. 38 last week to the Falcons.
They might be weak defensively, but you know, I heard that about the Ravens pass defense and we didn't particularly exploit it. I mean, we did okay. Right. I mean, McLaurin had a couple touchdowns and Jaden made the plays, but their offense is a lot more functional. Andy Dalton in how many games has he played? Three?
Three or four, I think.
He's got seven touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he's been a lot more serviceable than Bryce.
I expect the Commanders to get back to, all right, we're gonna churn 160, 170 yards on the ground and just beat them to death that way.
And the thing that helps with facing Dalton is, you know,
he's not going to move.
He's not going to move.
Right. That's exactly what's going to bring
him. Right, so you can get to him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you don't get to him, he could beat you.
The issue is Dorrance Armstrong healthy? What is he looking like heading into the matchup?
I think he's going to play.
Hopefully he's good to go.
Yeah. All right, let's. We still have a couple more clips here from DQ. Let's go to the second clip here, Valdez, where he's asked about what's holding Forbes back from getting, you know, being active, being on the field.
And so, sort of to that end, one guy that is an outside corner is Emmanuel Forbes. You guys haven't used him much really the last two games. Inactive this week. What at this point is holding Forbes back from getting on the field in a significant way defensively?
Yeah, and we'll look for that again this week, Ben. Really, honestly, we just wanted to add another defensive lineman up last week. Baltimore, I believe, had used the fewest, you know, three wide receiver sets leading into the game. So going in, we thought, man, we just need as much, you know, line of scrimmage help as we could. So we dressed an extra defensive lineman. So it wasn't performance related in that space. And as we get into next week, we certainly expect E-Man to, you know, back into the space and going for it in that way.
It's kind of what I thought. I mean, now listen, in the week prior to that, he'd only played four snaps. So it's not like you guys, you know, burning it up. But that was my instinct, too. They wanted more big guys to try to tackle
him.
Yeah,
but it is performance-based because he's not a starter.
Yeah.
He's way down on the depth chart. Yeah, so it is performance-based. Like he's saying, it's not performance-based. We had to bring up a defensive lineman. Well, you still had to have corners. He's not one of their top corners. He's supposed to be a top corner.
He's not.
Down on the depth chart, probably number five or six for them.
That's probably true. That's probably true. And when you're vulnerable like that, you know, obviously you're right on the edge. But I do think I would expect him to be up and play a little bit this week.
I think so, too.
Yeah. And I'm still not
going to
write
him. But he's
got to
make plays.
He's got to make some plays. He's got it.
I mean, if he's getting beat, he's going back to the bench.
Where's the ball-hawking plays that we kept hearing about?
I know. We heard so much about that when he was drafted.
And that's why we just said, oh, it's okay. He's a little light. Mm-hmm. He's skinny, but he's a ball hawk.
Right.
He's a ball hawk.
He's going to make a bunch of plays on the ball.
And you just haven't seen that yet. So that's what I want to see. And, you know, I don't want to throw the guy in the trash yet. So I'm still kind of holding out a little bit of hope. That's why I'm defending him.
But, you know,
yeah, but They like Noah better.
Well, he's a veteran. He looked good last
Sandstrill
week.
Sandstrill better, who they drafted.
Everybody likes
Sandstrill.
They like St. Juice better. They like Davis better.
I don't think they like Davis better. I think Davis played and was poop, and they shut him down.
And they said, you know what, take a seat over here.
I don't think they like Davis better.
What was Davis active last week?
Well, again, I think they wanted bigger guys.
They just never call his name. They just never call his name.
Who?
What? Davis.
I don't think he plays a ton.
And Carolina's got a big receiver in the rookie, Xavier Leggett, and he's 6'3", 230.
He's a big dude.
So St. Juice is going to be on him, I would assume.
You don't know his touchdown celebration. You don't know what it is. Mm-mm. He rides a horse.
Oh, the giddy up, yeah.
You'll be bitter if you see Xavier Leggett fake riding a horse in the end zone.
You don't want to see him riding a horse.
Yeah. Pat, can you show me how he does it?
Sure.
Is he whipped the horse?
Catches the ball.
Yeah.
He does this.
Oh, that's what he does.
Does this bit.
I thought he doesn't whip the horse, though.
No.
That's what I would do if I was riding a horse.
He's not riding in the Kentucky Derby. He's just riding a horse.
Just trotting.
Like he's a South Carolina guy. Like he's from the sticks in South Carolina, if you've ever heard him talk. Yeah. And he's just riding his horse for leisure. He's not riding any thoroughbreds like Valdez used to own.
And last but not least, that's a generous term.
Standard bred.
Standard bred.
Thoroughbreds are actually horses that you would see in a derby.
I know. I was kind of
standardbreds are the only ones that you see if you're degenerate.
Forgot the name of the horse.
Mama Grizzly. How can you forget that?
By the way, I forget. So don't attack me. I'm allowed to forget things. Did Mama Grizzly go to the glue factory?
Like, I don't know.
Do we know Mama Grizzly's fate?
We sold him to an Amish person.
I know you did that, but do we know since?
Like, no, there's been no follow up.
Still with us?
So is Mama Grizzly actively pulling like an Amish wagon somewhere in central Pennsylvania?
Not. It's been so long. It's probably dead by now, right?
Possibly.
No. These horses they
live forever.
30 years old.
Yeah, they live forever.
Okay, but I mean, it wasn't a spry.
I'm going to say Mama Grizzly is still alive, still with us.
You really?
He's probably working.
I'm just guessing.
Yeah, for sure.
But the new owner changed the name, you think? Like, could you do a search right now?
I just did a search for a Mama Grizzly.
Could you track down Mama Grizzly?
Nah, she's gone.
No.
She's gone. This is a horse racing nation.
Yeah, how are the Amish going to keep put him or her on a website? Like, it's just not going
to
happen.
Ezekiel's not giving us updates.
Well, so the Amish person didn't buy him to race?
No.
Pull a horse and buggy.
As a pet.
Yeah. Or to plow a field, or to pull something.
Maybe this
is hilarious. See him when I go up to when I go up to New York sometimes, and I see these Amish on the side of the road.
Yeah, you go through Amish Dutch country.
Yeah. Scream Mama Grizzly, see if the horse turns around and looks at you.
Hey, did Mama? According to this, Mama Grizzly was a 17-year-old mare and raced in 2011.
Okay. Does that timeline work?
No.
Yeah. Wasn't 17.
All right. Different Mama Grizzly.
Probably a different Mama Grizzly. Somebody else with a silly horse
How
name.
Did you guys spell your mama? Was it M-A-M-A?
Yeah, but there's all kinds of horses with the same name.
Right.
Different racing circuits. Believe me, she wasn't 17.
Yeah.
Pete Medhurst would tell us that would be a good idea to buy a 17-year-old
horse. She moved like she was 17, but she wasn't 17.
Yeah. All right.
Did Pete Medhurst think you guys
five.
We're going to get rich? Like, he was convinced.
No, but he was just their advisor.
I mean,
right.
He was their
Pete's
advisor.
He's been in the horse game for a long time. He knew those donks weren't getting rich off of one standard brand.
You'd be surprised by our conversation.
I think Pete thought that they were going to be swimming in it.
Pete's a great guy. I miss seeing Pete do
post games for the Ravens.
Oh yeah, no, he does. Dude,
he's hard worker.
He's the hardest working guy, and
ever.
He's also super talented.
Mm-hmm.
A guy can literally call any sport.
Totally.
And he does that for the Naval Academy.
He does.
Trust me, I listen to a lot of like college broadcasters and ESPN Plus broadcasters, especially like with lacrosse and volleyball.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are horrific.
Right.
Like you literally have to turn it off. It's brutal.
Yeah, Pete, he just sounds like a pro.
He's an expert.
He's great.
And he's just waiting for Johnny Holiday to retire. He just won't retire.
No, he's actually waiting for somebody else to retire.
Oh,
I think he's getting a big gig. I might have some intel on that.
Oh, really?
I think he's getting a big gig.
Ooh, good for him.
Yeah.
You're not letting the cat out of the bag too early,
I'm
are you?
I think I know who it is.
Yeah.
Mm. I didn't know he was gunning for Johnny Holiday's gig.
Well,
he just threw that out there.
Yeah, it's just conversations from a long time ago.
No. He think
and Johnny Holiday's still going strong.
Yeah, Johnny's unbelievable.
Is he like 86?
Yeah.
Well, he just had a birthday. Like, he's either 84 or 86.
Johnny's smart because if he retires, he's just going to die. So you got to keep working.
He's going to die anyway.
No, but it does. It does keep you a little vibrant.
Okay.
It does keep you a little bit more involved.
87.
87.
87.
I'm surprised he survived through the Terps Northwestern game.
Can you play the last clip of
DQ? That game was brutal.
I'm surprised he didn't just leave at halftime. See ya.
Last clip of DQ, and he's asked about if winning the NFC East is a realistic goal. I think we all think it is.
They're in first place.
A loss, but if you look at the standings, Washington is atop the NFC East. I wonder if you consider that a realistic goal to win the division, and if it even early in the season is something you put out to the guys as a carrot at all.
Yeah, you want to put it out not now, but at the beginning, and knowing that this is a tough division, but that's always comes first in terms of how you want to play in terms of the division. So I believe we've only had one so far division game. So as you go and you get into those games, you know, that's when you get to really talk about the matchups and why they carry so much weight. So, honestly, we don't really talk much about expectations, and then we don't put a lot of stress on that. What we do put a lot of stress on is like how much better we can get. And it's just, can you get better? Can your unit get better? Can we do that again this week and going through the process for that? So we don't try to get jammed up on expectations or things are down the line or any of that. We just try to dig right into this week and say, this is, you know, we're based on improvement. It's like a lifestyle we live here, man. Like, can you get better? Can you dig in further? Can you get to that spot? And so that's kind of the stressor that we go, not on outside expectations. I recognize the question about the division because it is really important to talk about that. But you don't really talk about those until you talk about the division games when you're playing in them.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
When is this? You know what I'm struck by? The polite nature of all this. When are we going to get the football coach? Like, when are we going to get just,
I think that's
like,
him.
He's just going to be polite and nice all the time?
Well, to the media. He gets fired up, though, on the sideline.
Yeah, no, for sure. But I guess I just want – he's a little bit too polite for
me. Drops a lot.
I know that sounds weird.
Right.
I don't know if you're a good lip reader. He drops a lot of F-bombs.
Oh, yeah,
no doubt. And I've seen him in the post-game stuff.
Yeah. He's just like, media savvy. Like, he this
okay.
A good forward face.
I consider that – this is trivial, but – I consider it fake. Get rid of the fake stuff. Let's just be real.
Right.
I want my football coach.
You need a cursor and a screamer.
I need a little bit more raw.
Fiery.
A little bit more raw. He's a little bit too genteel with the question.
But we can all agree, better than Ron.
Oh,
better than Ron
close.
When he stepped to the podium.
Not even close.
Way better.
Not even close.
So we'll take that.
Yeah. I think he's just a sincerely nice guy.
He's just a good dude.
So it's not. I just want him to just be a little bit more football-y.
Players love him.
I know.
He gets fired up. He's like one of them.
I like him. I just want him to be a little bit more, a little more.
You mean to the media?
Yeah, a little bit. Just a little.
I just don't think that's his personality.
More ballsy. I don't know.
Coming up next, we'll go around the NFL with the Junkies Blitz. Don't go anywhere.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, okay, sorry, relax. It's okay. Everything's going to be okay.
Good start to the live spot.
It's fine. It's not a big deal. We all know plumbing problems always seem to strike at the worst possible time. It's inevitable. You should also know that no matter your plumbing predicament nor when it occurs, you can schedule an appointment with the Crop Metcalf 5-star plumbing experts at cropmetcalf.com. Save time and schedule now to have a Crop Metcalf 5-star plumbing technician at the ready to expertly handle any plumbing pickle you may find yourself in. You don't even have to call. All you have to do is visit cropmetcalf.com to schedule Crop Metcalf, home of the 5-star technician.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.